Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce. Hump Deuce. Haven't said that in a while. It's been a while, Alex, since I said Hump Deuce, right?
You didn't feel comfortable calling it a hump deuce with your guest last week? Is that
who was
is that?
No, I don't even know that if that's what it is. I just feel like I haven't called it that in a while. I feel like I've gone away from some of the old standards that I've used when I'm introducing the show. But it is a hump deuce. It is Wednesday, the final day of March. The madness is almost over. Although the madness did continue tonight. Didn't watch it, but Michigan lost to UCLA, which is pretty crazy.
Passed out. That was insane.
Oh yeah. The ref
he's
passed
okay.
out.
I heard he's okay. So that's good. But
the ref passed wild. Out. Michigan lost to UCLA in a, you know, just an exciting, exciting 51-49 barn burner. just an exciting college basketball, like about as exciting as college basketball gets. 51. I think that was the final score, 51-49. Michigan, farewell, Juwan Howard. It was fun while it lasted. But that's not what we're here to talk about. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about this heavy, heavy four-game slate from Tuesday night. Some interesting stuff to talk about. We're also here to talk about Kevin Durant, which we will talk about on this show. For better or worse, we will talk about Kevin Durant on this show. I'm interested to hear your thoughts because, as everything is with Kevin Durant, very polarizing day today for this guy. But so I'll be interested to hear your thoughts. But let's start with the Tuesday night slate of games. And, you know, let's start with your guys, but more so Denver, right? Mm-hmm. Denver beats Philly 104-95. And I said this the other night with James when he was on, which was Aaron Gordon's debut. There's something about this team. When they go out for the opening tip, when I see this team now with Aaron Gordon in the starting lineup instead of Paul Millsap or Jeremy Grant or Jermichael Green, there's something scarier about this team. And it's not like he's lighting the world on fire. It's not like he's putting up huge stats, but I think it's just like an upside thing. Maybe at 25, we know what Aaron Gordon's capable of. See this team go out on the court. I'm like, this team has scary, scary upside.
Yeah, and I felt the same way because, like, Aaron Gordon's been, I guess, the second best player in Orlando. They made the playoffs, and now he comes and he's the fourth best player on this team. Like he's a legitimate second best player on an 8 seed, but whatever. But now he comes here, and the Nuggets are just stacked all of a sudden. I mean, they were good enough already. And this is the first time I've watched them a couple times this year. This is the first time watching them where I was like, this looks like the team that was terrifying in the playoffs last year. Like, I know they've been getting hot. I just haven't been watching them, but tonight I get to see them and it's like, this team is so legit. And the score, the 104-95, doesn't do this game justice at all. They beat the brakes off the Sixers.
Yeah,
for the most complete domination. They looked fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jamal Murray had what, 16 in the first quarter, I think.
Yeah.
And finished with 30, but he didn't have to. It was such a blowout at certain points that he didn't really need to.
Right. They scored 44 points in the first quarter. Like, right. It was just wild.
Yeah. It was. And, you know, part of what it is with Aaron Gordon is he's another option to just get at. He makes them 10 times more athletic than they were without him. I mean, it's just, they, as good as they are, they've never been like a super athletic team, right? With mm-hmm. Jokic, even Jamal Murray is not like this freak athlete. And we know Michael Porter Jr. is a good athlete, but not a great at. He just changes their dynamic defensively, and he can get out in transition and offensive rebounding, even though he didn't have one tonight. But, you know, he just changes the dynamic offensively. And in terms of like this being the first time seeing like them being the team in the play, they're scarier than last year's team.
Yep.
Because they essentially had, other than Jeremy Grant, who was a huge catalyst for them defensively last year, they're better. Like they just look, they're more loaded, it seems like, than last year, and just a year older and a year more experienced.
That's the key. Yeah. And because Michael Porter Jr. is just, he's not, I mean, he's a young guy, but he's not like a young player anymore. He's just the absolute real deal. So and he's so much better compared to last year.
Oh, that's absolutely. And again, this is another guy that, like, I guess because generally from a rookie year to a second year, guys don't get discussed for most improved player, but his improvement's been insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going under the radar, like not just what he's doing recently or this year, but his, I think it's going under the radar how elite he is of a 3-point shooter.
I was going to text you that. I was like, I did not realize. I knew he was a good shooter. He's a great shooter.
So. So after tonight, he will move into eighth in the NBA in 3-point percentage.
Wow.
He's shooting 44.9% from three. Mm-hmm. And he shot last year 42% from three. Like, here's the thing. If he stays on this trajectory of the way he's shooting the ball, when he qualifies, he'll be a top 10 all time. Like, statistically, like, for example, Duncan Robinson is in his third year in the league and he's 13th all time in 3-point percentage. Now, obviously he hasn't played as much as these guys, but I'm just saying when Michael Porter Jr. gets to the point where he's shot enough threes to be on this list, if he stays on this trajectory, he's going to be top 20, top 10. Like, that's the mm-hmm. That's the way he's shooting percentage wise for his whole career. And then this year it's even better. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, and to do it for a second consecutive season, like there has been plenty of flash in the pan guys that shoot 42%, but now we're almost through a second season of this. So it looks, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be shooting 43% the rest of his career, but he's a fantastic shooter in a 6'10" frame and that moves like a deer. Like, it's ridiculous.
And still you could see in his game offensively that there are still a lot of things he can improve on. Mm-hmm. He's still not great getting to the rim and finishing at the rim.
Right. He's going to get a lot stronger, I'd imagine, in the next couple years.
But he is a good rebounder. He has good touch in the mid range. He just doesn't go to it a ton because he's just draining threes.
Yeah.
Once his one-on-one ISO game develops similar to like the way Brandon Ingram's has over these last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watch out. It just, because let's put it this, Brandon Ingram's great. He doesn't shoot the ball like this. The only player 6'10 in the league that shoots the ball like this is Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And maybe Bol Bol, but we, you know.
Well, that's we'll talk about Bol Bol in a second because it's the only thing I hate about this team. But yet, he has come a long way. His scoring is up by 7 points. And opportunity is part of that. But that makes them so that his development, Aaron Gordon, and now they're bent. Now with Aaron Gordon, their bench becomes better because now you got Millsap and Jermichael Green coming off the bench instead of starting, which either one of them, which never you got. And then you got Facundo Campazzo.
That guy's fun to watch. That dude is fun to watch.
They have suddenly, I texted you this, they've suddenly become like one of the most likable teams maybe ever, just in terms of roster construction. There's so many guys on this team that are so fun and likable.
Yep. Like tons of characters everywhere.
Well, I mean, like you got Jokic, obviously, is the first one, right? Triple double machine, probably the most talented, like it's skilled 7-footer there's ever been, just in terms of all around skill. Obviously, people could make their arguments because he still has a long way to go, but it just in terms of pure skill, I don't know that we've ever seen anyone
like all around skill with the passing and all that stuff.
The ability to shoot the ball, the pass, all of it. And then he's just funny. Like he's just sort of funny.
He's a goofball kind
of. Yeah, he's a goofball. Then you got Jamal Murray, who after the playoffs last year, how can you not, you know, just love that guy? Now you have Aaron Gordon, who some people are down on Aaron Gordon because of the jersey number, because they think it's super corny.
What did he do again? I saw the headline and I forget.
He chose number 50 as his jersey number because he has the most 50s in a dunk contest without winning a dunk contest or something.
Okay, that's corny, yeah. But that doesn't, I'm not down on him, but that is kind of corny.
But he's a guy that outside of the jersey number, people I think have been rooting for a long time to get him out of Orlando to see what he can really be. And he's an exciting player. And you got Facundo Campazzo, who's listed at 5'10", but it's probably like 5'6". And one of the funnest passers we've seen in a long time.
Yep. And fiery too. He was getting pissed at the refs up like 20.
Yeah.
Like, and he was getting horrible calls, but yeah.
And he fucking drilled Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Tonight. He made Ben Simmons look like a little bitch tonight. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
And then for me personally, Will Barton, I love seeing Will Barton do well because I remember when I lived in Memphis, he was a freshman at University of Memphis. And I remember going to pickup and just watching him as a freshman do to the rest of that team what a future NBA player does to a bunch of American Athletic Conference players being coached by Josh Pastner. Mm-hmm. Like he was just like dumping on all. It was pretty. And at the time it was like, I don't know if this guy can ever play in the NBA because he's like probably 120 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like he's six, whatever, but he was so damn skinny. Obviously he was like 18 years old or however old he was, but he was killing everyone. It was just absurd. And then you get to the part of this team that drives me nuts.
Well, we've got to talk JaVale McGee.
Sorry. I didn't mention Michael Porter Jr., who, by the way, we do love Michael Porter Jr., but kind of strikes me as an asshole.
Yeah, that there's more to come on. Yeah, he had a weird thing in the playoffs last year, too.
And he's made some comments about COVID. I think he's a COVID denier. I don't know. But also like I interviewed him a couple or was part of interviews that during draft with him. And he just struck me as like very, I don't know. There's just, he had like this thing about him that I didn't
know. He might be a dick. Yeah.
He just struck me as dickish. But then you, and this is probably just sort of a product of how good they are. But Denver, you have two of my favorite players in the NBA, and you're basically just holding them hostage. Mm. Like, obviously, we talk about Bol Bol all the time, and at this point, that guy ain't playing. He's not playing. They're so deep now with their bigs that he's not playing. But then you trade for JaVale McGee, who half the teams that are contending for the playoffs could desperately use JaVale McGee. They haven't played him yet. So you just
strange. Yeah. But
you just got my two of my favorite players in the NBA just sitting on your bench. You don't even let them play. Give them some minutes. What, I mean, really with McGee, like what did you trade for him for? Like for the playoffs?
So somebody else didn't get him probably. Like, so they didn't have him guarding Jokic in some weird game down the line. Not that he's like could shut down Jokic, but why not? Why not grab him? You know?
Yeah. I mean, look, we saw last year in the playoffs that Denver struggled against the Lakers, like the size of the Lakers. So, you know, I guess, is there a scenario if they play the Lakers in the playoffs where you see JaVale McGee and Jokic together, if it's like a Drummond Anthony Davis lineup? I don't know. Those would be fun lineups to watch. Like I'm saying, is that the thought process at some point? Maybe. Because If not, I don't know what they got him for to just sit on the bench. He's a good backup center. And they don't play a backup center right now. Like when they don't have Jokic in the game, which is not a lot, they just go small. So I don't know. He hasn't played a minute for them yet. Unless, I don't know their last game, if it was what the end of the game looked like, but I don't think he played. I don't think he's hurt either.
Is it possible he's just like getting ramped up, or I don't know. Like,
now,
he passed all those protocols for being traded, right?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a ramp-up thing. Like, you know, like LaMarcus Aldridge isn't playing till next week because he hadn't played in so long. They're saying they got to ramp him up and that type of thing. But he was playing for Cleveland. He was playing, especially since Drummond, you know, since they decided they weren't going to play Drummond anymore, he became the primary backup. And Jared Allen was hurt for a little bit. Like, yeah, he's been playing, so I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, but it really could truly be like he, like, yeah, like you said, he'll be a matchup specialist when they play a team where these matchups work.
Yeah.
They'll pop him in there, but
that's bullshit.
We haven't seen the last of JaVale McGee this season. I'm sure of it. I'm sure he pops up in the playoffs. There will be the JaVale McGee game. I'm sure
something great is going to happen. It just stinks because I love watching him play. I told you, I've said it many times. I bought a top shot because
You still have the top shot.
I still have the top shot.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
It's not worth anything, but that's a whole other story.
I've been scouring. The lowest ask right now is $9, so it's worth something
on the entire market.
Yeah.
You know, your team tonight. I think you nailed it when we were texting. Just a sleepwalk game. Also Denver's sick, so there's no shame in losing to them, but they look bad.
Yeah, I mean, to be down 22 after the first quarter, like that's what this game was. And it's the last leg of this brutal West Coast stretch. They're feeling the effects of missing Embiid. Like this isn't a bad loss. This is like they weren't up for this game. It happens to good teams. I mean, I'm not like excusing it. It's not fun to get your doors blown off in the first quarter, but it's not like a big deal.
This may just be reactionary because of watching these last two games for Denver. This might be the third best team in the West right now. And again, I'm not bought in on Utah. Still not bought in on Utah. The record, I don't think, is indicative of what this team can do in the playoffs. I don't think they're a deep playoff team. So Phoenix, who, by the way, Denver, there's nothing saying that Denver can't be better than Phoenix too. Like, it's sort of open. The only team right now, obviously, is the Lakers if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. They're the best. Everyone else, Denver has gotten to the point now where their upside's higher than Phoenix's upside, I think.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I definitely think that's fair, especially because we've seen this team in the playoffs. You know, we have no idea what Phoenix is going to look like.
So
it ramps up in the 7-game series. So Phoenix has to prove.
And with the injuries and the Clippers, who we'll talk about in a second, you know, Denver could end up in the third seed playing the Lakers as a 6 seed, which would be terrible. But, you know, like the way this thing's going, there's a report came out today that LeBron's out for at least 3 to 5 more weeks.
Wow.
And that's from Shams. That's from Shams. So, you know, who knows? You know, that's that thing could get back. I don't know when AD is back, but even with AD back, they're not going to win everything. And they're not going to go on a crazy run just because they got AD back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nuts. Phoenix did play tonight also, and the Clippers, but Phoenix survived Atlanta 117-110. John Collins got hurt in the first half, sprained ankle. Not sure how bad it is. We'll see what happens going forward for them. But like, you know, Phoenix, they're sort of in a groove right now. We're going to end up saying the same things about them that we say every night because they're just in such a groove. And then they go and get Torrey Craig, just, you know, a guy who, when he signed, who was really important to Denver, in fact, last year, just a good bench player, defensive guy. They played him a lot. Went to Milwaukee, I thought was going to be a great pickup for Milwaukee off the bench. Couldn't play for them. And now all of a sudden goes to the Suns and he looks really good. Saric looks unstoppable for these guys right now.
I love that guy. I truly love that guy. So
they're just so good all around.
And they're really deep. They're one of the deepest teams in the league, right? I mean, Cameron Johnson is giving them fantastic minutes. You know, They're the real deal. I've been saying it. I think I said it since Chris Paul got there. I just can't wait to see this team in the playoffs because we've never seen Devin Booker in there. But I do think I'm with you to go back to Denver. I think Denver has more upside, but it's close. Like the top of the West is just way closer than I thought it was going
to
be.
I think I might have. I think I'm close to fully turning the corner on DeAndre Ayton too.
In terms like that he. I mean, we know he's good, right? But like,
well, I don't know. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I was never convinced that he was going to be like a good NBA center. But he has touch around the rim, and he's just so goddamn big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to deny. And he's right. And I think he's gotten better playing with Chris Paul, too. Obviously, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do anything outside of 2 feet from the basket. But we've and seen
he's solid defensively.
But we've he's not seen, like you know, either can Rudy Gobert, you know, like, mm-hmm. so... And he's not defensively, he's not what Rudy Gobert is, but he's rebounding the shit out of the ball and he scores at the rim. That's really all you need out of the guy. And he's got good hands and he is so damn big. He's just a monster out there.
The shoulders are his true boulder shoulders. Yeah. True boulder shoulders.
This is, I'm sticking by them having the best record at the end of the season in the NBA. So we'll see. And then for the Hawks, like, you know, what are you going to do? You lose. They were getting beat pretty bad in this game. So then I think this rough West Coast trip, this could have made them 3-3. Now they're 2-4, you said?
Yep.
And look, I think going into this road trip, the thing for me with the Hawks that I wanted to see was, are they competitive against the better teams? I wasn't expecting them to beat any of these teams, really. Like, you don't come into expecting them to beat the Suns. So being competitive, especially with John Collins getting hurt and just sticking around, makes me more confident that this isn't just honeymoon, bad teams, Nate McMillan, that this team actually maybe has found their rhythm to where they are a playoff team in the East.
Yeah.
And they still are not healthy. Like, DeAndre Hunter is hurt again, hasn't been playing. Collins gets hurt. Lou Will hasn't played yet for them. I don't know what the deal is with him. When he's going to play or when he'll be with the team. So,
and it's still like they're two of their big offseason moves haven't played that many games with the, like, Gallinari and Bogdanović are healthy now, but it's not like they're like well-versed and like have been playing a ton of games with the core. They haven't really played many games at all with DeAndre Hunter. So,
yeah. And by the way, Tony Snell leads NBA in 3-point shooting all of a sudden for this team.
Doesn't shock me. Didn't miss a free throw last year. The guy's just a pure shooter.
It doesn't shock you. I feel like this guy has been,
weird.
I feel like on many occasions, this guy has been on the brink of being out of the league.
He's like a weird guy. I don't know.
Also,
no, I'm kidding.
He is also very weird looking.
Yeah. He's a strange looking guy.
He's a weird looking guy. Yeah. I mean, but no, it's fine. The Collins thing's worrisome. We'll see what happens with the ankle, but it's good. It's a good sign that they're competing with the best teams in the league. So I'm okay with it. It's good to see Bogdanović playing well too. I wonder if he had the trade deadline jitters too, because his name came up a few times that he might get traded.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's playing a little better. Seems like a lot of guys after the deadline are playing better basketball now that they know where they are.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a real thing. Like, I mean, moving cities, like being on a totally different team, that definitely would affects your mindset, which would then leak onto the court and make you a different player.
Yeah. I mean, I had on my other show with Norris, who was traded when he was in the NBA. We had a good conversation about how it impacts players. And, you know, you go into it as a player. Like, his whole thing was, as a player, you're worried, especially if you're on a team that's known for making moves. But if you're on the fringe or you don't know, like, at the deadline, you have to continue to do the things you do, but you can, like, it is a stressful time because as fans, we generally don't look at it at the whole picture of what a trade is.
Right.
We don't consider the fact that, like, most of these guys have families, they have kids, and, like, sure, your wife or your partner understands what they signed up for, but your kids have no idea. So like just the whole, just the idea that like, you got to move across country, potentially you got to tell your kids that they have to move away, move to a different school, move away from friends. Like that's a stressful thing for a human. And there's so many people who are like, oh, if I was getting paid $15 million, you'd be stressed.
Right.
It's a natural reaction to be stressed and worry about how you're going to handle your life, no matter how much money you're going to make. So yeah, I think it happens every, you see guys like immediately after the deadline start to just play a little bit better, like looser buttholes, a little bit looser.
Yeah, it's a good point, especially because like, I mean, when I'm stressed, like I do think it leaks onto the court a ton, you know, like we treat these guys like assets, like, or this guy should be averaging 20 points a game because he averaged that last year. But when you're stressed, well, yeah, you perform differently at your job. It's just the way it is.
And one of the examples I brought up to him was Duncan Robinson, who since the deadline is shooting, he's like 14 of 24 from three.
Wow. Yeah.
And and I said to him, I'm like, there's got to be some level of, okay, now if I miss a shot, I'm not going to get traded. And his response to that was, well, he's still a shooter. Yes, it's stressful, but as a shooter, you just got to keep shooting. And but I still think on some level, that's the guy. Like he, him and Tyler Hero were the guys for Miami that were in these trade discussions. Mm-hmm. So on some level, especially for a guy like Duncan Robinson, who's an undrafted guy trying to play for a contract, and then you know there's a real Kyle Lowry thing out there. And if it happens, you're getting traded. Like there's got to be part of you that every night wants to go out and just nail to, like, you're worried that if I go 1 for 6 tonight, is this going to be the night where they're like, maybe he's not as good of a shooter as we thought he was. I guess that would go through my mind 100%. So who are we talking about for that?
Bogdanović.
Yeah. So maybe that's Bogdanović too. And I forgot to ask this. When going back to the Sixers, when does George Hill play? Do we know?
No, he's dealing with something. He's dealing with a nagging injury. So they're going to ease him in, but I don't think he's far, but a couple games.
Got it. Okay. Well, that'll be helpful for them.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go to the Clippers, that dumpster fire of an organization, it's time, Alex, for your, by far, your favorite part of the podcast. And it's been a while since you've been involved in this, so I know you're ready.
Well, I've been going back and listening to just these parts of each episode, so yeah, go for it.
This is the part of the show where we talk to you about hosting your own podcast with our podcast, The Trivia Blue Wire. And there's no better place to do that, Alex, than where? Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you.
In all caps.
As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art. Alex's, by far Alex's favorite part of the whole program, the personal cover art. Huge, huge. Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters. And listen, guys, I feel like, as a relatively new podcast, I've gotten a little bit of a masterclass over the last week from some of Blue Wire's top podcasters. They've been coming on the show and teaching me how to be a good podcaster. So I feel like I'm already better, and I'm not even in Hustle. I'm just on the network, baby. Access to our community Discord and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all this for $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you for just the initial setup.
You almost, Alex, nailed it.
Did I not get it?
You did, but then you laughed at the end.
Oh, because your face. Couldn't stick Alex the landing. Yeah. That line, I always get caught up on that line. Alex was making a face. Yeah. It is a big hurdle. It's a huge hurdle. But, you know, I did it. Or sort of. Mm-hmm. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to me or us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, in all caps. So get your application today. Go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Not your best. Not your, it was good, but no, not your best.
I thought that was
no, great. There was one about 3 weeks back. You absolutely crushed it. I've been charting all these performances. That was a good one, but not your best.
I guess I got to get in the film room. Yeah. I got to go listen back.
Yeah.
All right. You would think as a film guy, like I would be listening and studying myself, but I don't. It's the hardest thing in the world. I don't know if successful broadcasters like watch or listen to themselves back, but it is the hardest thing in the world to do.
Or to listen to yourself. Yeah.
Like to go back and like re-listen to the shows. Yeah, it's tough. Even though it's something you should do because it helps you get better. I always feel awkward listening to myself. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel.
I feel very awkward. Yeah. Yeah. I still do it.
Yeah. It's tough. I do it occasionally. I can't do it for every episode. It's just hard. It's hard. But you should be listening to every episode because it's not awkward for you to listen to me. You guys, not you, Alex, the listener.
Right.
You love listening to me and Alex. Kinda. all right, let's keep talking about the NBA. There's two other games tonight. The Clippers. Well, I mean, good God, man. Like this team, it's becoming repetitive. Just
this talking is the about- worst 32-17 team. Of all time, like
yeah, they're the opposite crazy.
We know they're good, but they're so bad.
Like, well, listen, you can't.
They're not bad.
They don't have Rondo, they don't have Beverly, and they don't have Ibaka, which helps them, but doesn't make you that much better. It just makes you deeper. Excuse me.
That's how disgusted you are. The Clippers, you're just ripping burps.
That was
in the breakdown.
You know what? Alex, you didn't deserve that. The listeners didn't deserve that. And I apologize.
But the Clippers deserve that.
The Clippers deserve that, though. God. Regardless of those three guys who, again, well, Rondo hasn't even played for this team, so we don't know how he fits. And then Serge. Okay, sure. Serge helps your front court. You can't lose to the Magic at home. You can't. And nope, Paul George didn't play. Doesn't matter. This is an embarrassing loss. This team just blew up their whole franchise. They are playing a glorified G League team. Terrence Ross, the only like legitimate pro that any other team in the NBA would want off this roster right now, except maybe Otto Porter, played 25 minutes coming off an injury. The leading scorer was Chuma Okeke, who I'm a fan of.
Nick could be a good player.
He's a good player. He's going to be a good role player. He shouldn't be winning games when he's your leading scorer against a team that has championship aspirations. The Clippers stink, dude. This is a great way to put it. Worst, what are they? You said they're 32-17 now?
Yep.
Worst 32-17. And we're going full opposite of James Herbert here. He said the Raptors are the best 18-28.
I was wondering if you were going to figure out that I stole that and inverted it.
Oh no! Yeah, I see where I smell what you're cooking.
Yeah,
and you cooked something up here because this. I don't give a shit if half your roster is hurt. If Kawhi Leonard's playing, and you have four other professional basketball players, you should beat the Orlando Magic at home.
You should beat any team that is just unanimously considered to have just had a fire sale. They've everywhere you go, ESPN, anywhere. It's the Magic. Oh, they had a fire sale. They traded away all their good players because they're starting over. And you are trying to boost your seed in a brutal Western Conference. You've got however many time All-Star Kawhi is. Don't lose this game. You just don't lose this game if you're a real championship team, in my opinion. I mean,
I
right
agree.
There, one seed is right there for the taking, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, people are struggling and they're just pissing away games to the Magic.
Yeah. And you hate to overreact, right? To regular season, because ultimately this team is going to look different when everyone's playing. There's four of their key players didn't play in this game. So that is worth, I mean, it is something to keep in mind. And against 25 other teams, losing this game is acceptable when you're missing, you know, your second best player on your team and three other guys who could potentially be starter level players. You're missing four good players. Okay. They lose to the Hornets. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You lose to like the Kings right now. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But this team, you can't lose this fucking team. You just can't.
No, you just can't.
And I don't know what else to say about it. It's just an embarrassing loss for this team. To me, it is.
And there's embarrassing losses here and there in the NBA, but this team always has them. This is the same team that lost by 50 this year. Like, championship teams don't do that. And so I just
– Also,
a certain
16-point lead. They had a 16-point lead.
And so they don't give a shit is the problem. Isn't there –
That's like coaching. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I understand.
And leadership, you've also harped on.
Leadership, coach, like, yes. Look, I think people are starting to realize what I've been saying since last year in the playoffs about Kawhi. I think it's starting to slow. You know how I've told you before, I do these things where I make these bold statements that seem crazy. Some people call them hot takes. And then slowly but surely people start to come around. I'm starting to see people talking about the Kawhi thing. Because it's true. I do put a lot of it on Ty Lue also, because there is a level of, they're professional athletes, so you can only motivate a guy at this level so much. If they don't want to play, if they're not up to play, then what can you say as a coach at this level? Like, you should be ready to play. So yeah, part of that's leadership, but there's got to be something with Ty. Like, when you're up 16 and the Orlando Magic make a run, I didn't watch the whole game because I assumed it was going to be a blowout. So I don't know, like, X's and O's wise, what adjustments weren't made, but something didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know,
something. Yeah, exactly. Something dude, the Magic shot 5 for 17 from three. Okay. So the Magic didn't go into like the stratosphere and do something incredible. The Magic played Orlando Magic basketball and beat the Clippers, who had Kawhi Leonard.
The Magic scored 13 points in the first quarter and scored 66 in the second half. 33 and 33.
They won the second half by 21 points.
56 points off their bench.
It's such a bad loss, man. It really is. This team lacks. Isn't there? There's like a Jewish term or word, like chutzpah, kahutzpah. Am I anywhere? This team doesn't have whatever that is.
This team does not have chutzpah. Okay. If you're going to say it, you got to really get the
chutzpah. What does it mean? Does it mean balls?
Chutzpah. It's like it's like confidence, I think.
Juice or so. Okay, yeah. Whatever it is, they don't have it.
Extreme self-confidence.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely.
That's the Google definition.
Okay.
Or audacity.
Okay. They're lacking it.
They're lacking chutzpah. Say it. You got to get the
chutzpah. Chutzpah. Is it pa? Is it end in a P or a sva?
Pa. Chutzpah.
Chutzpah. Got it. That was good. You
need
good.
More that of
was...
a
chutzpah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Oh, man. The sentence is, love him or hate him, you have to admire Cohen's chutzpah.
That's a good, yeah. Because then you could sub and invert that.
They just, like, Google was just like, what's a Jewish name? Like, it's not even a first name. It's a last name. Like, it's not like Brian's chutzpah. It's like, let's get a really Jewish last name. Love him or hate him, you have to admire Cohen's chutzpah.
Damn it, Google.
I want, hold on. I need to see more, sentences like using chutzpah in it on these dictionaries.
Give me one.
It took a lot of chutzpah to stand up to him the way she did.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about with the Clippers. They don't have any of this that makes you stand up to dog shit teams.
Even Moriarty might not have had the chutzpah to pull that off.
That's a good one.
His company, West Coast Streetwear, has figured out how to use technology and chutzpah to buy hot sneakers in bulk before the rest of the market.
I don't think he's using that one correctly at all.
Let's see. Oh, my God. There's so many. Oh, let me keep going. Then again, any scientist who works on the origin of our universe, and hundreds do worldwide, must possess a certain amount of chutzpah. That's true. Anybody who works on the origin of the universe must have a certain amount of chutzpah.
See, I can't, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm dancing around having to say it again because I feel like I nailed it and I don't know if I can go there again.
Here's one.
Chutzpah.
Here's one. These are all, by the way, these sentences are all sentences taken from articles that were written in real publications. These are not like made up by the dictionary. Like they aggregated them from articles. Here's one. The fearless. Sorry, I just can't. I'm just trying to get through this sentence. The fearless Wong has a sense of chutzpah that's more charming than off-putting.
I like that one.
Yeah,
that's a multicultural. That's
but like, out of context, yeah, right. Wong. Yeah. Stately reverence had given way to inclusive chutzpah. I don't know what that means. I don't understand that sentence. Let's see.
Weren't we trying to avoid an hour-long episode here, Joe?
Yeah, but you brought up chutzpah. Now this is all. I mean, this is gold. All right, there's only a couple more.
Okay.
Many of them would be eliminated if conference commissioners and college presidents had the chutzpah to tell Rose Bowl to take its January 1st kickoff time and its perfect sunset and shove it.
The Rose Bowl? Was that the noun?
Yeah, that's from a Dan Wolkin article about to stop worshiping the Rose Bowl.
How do you spell it? I don't even know what letter
it starts. You want to try? Do you want to try? No.
Is it start with a K?
Try. No.
Start with an H? An H?
No. I said close.
A J?
What's that? What other letter?
C?
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, what other letter makes a similar sound to a K? No. Not like close. All right. Hold on. There's two more. Relationships and authenticity are a big theme in the book, made even more powerful when combined with grit and chutzpah. And then... it's gripping at every turn, but reading about him left me torn. I was put off by his arrogance, but he pulled. Oh, wait, sorry. Let me start that over. It's gripping at every turn, but reading about him left me torn. I was put off by his arrogance, but pulled in by the sheer chutzpah of the effort.
Who are they talking about in that sentence?
This is about the book. Two books show the. That just like a book review.
All right. Well, now I know exactly what chutzpah is, and I know Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, they don't have it.
Yeah, Kawhi has it a little bit on the court, but as a leader, he doesn't have it.
Right.
You got to have chutzpah to hit that shot, you know?
Yeah.
The shot.
Yeah.
The shot. Yeah. All right, the last game today was Hornets-Wizards. Hornets win. Good win for them. They continue to play well, even without LaMelo. But Russell Westbrook, another 22, 15, and 14. I looked this up. Okay. He is now 10 triple doubles away from tying Oscar Robertson for the most triple doubles in a loss ever.
Oh, wow.
I think he's like 18 away from just all time.
I was going to say, I thought he was like miles away from the all time record.
No. Well, regular
season. Yeah. He's absolutely going to break it. Rui Hachimura played fantastic.
He's been playing fantastic. Yeah, he looks really good. He has come along. He's come a long way from what he was last year. I mean, he's second year.
When I was watching these highlights, the only thing I could think was like, if the Hornets or if the Wizards had just avoided that John Wall contract somehow, like their future would be so bright right now. Honestly, Bradley Beal, Rui Hachimura. I still love Avdija or
Avdija. Danny Avdija.
I don't know. I think it's
Avdija. Avdija. Sure. Yeah. He, you know, who has chutzpah?
That guy.
Danny Avdija?
That guy absolutely has it.
Oh, my God. He's got
the wazoo. He's got
guys chutzpah. Leads the league in chutzpah.
You need to add that to the box score.
Yeah, oh, my man, God. Can we get that started? Can somebody
unit,
tell me?
What unit do you measure it in? Percentage?
I don't know. Yeah. No, it's like every other stat. It's like rebounds and rebound percentage. It's like chutzpah and then chutzpah percentage.
Okay.
Like you have chutzpah, but then also what percentage of the total chutzpah are you getting in the game?
Okay. I vaguely understand what you're trying
I'm saying, to say. So like, do you know what rebound percentage is?
Yeah. Like what percentage of the rebound
or
what
the available rebound?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like so what percentage of the available chutzpah did you get in this
game? Yeah. But what does it mean to have one chutzpah or two in a game? You know what I mean?
You can't say it.
Well, now that I know it begins with a C, I'm lost. I don't even know how to, like, that's making it more difficult to pronounce for some reason.
Okay.
Well, what is the unit? One chutzpah?
Sure. Okay. Okay. Right. Chutzpah.
I hope it's this isn't. There's, yeah.
Chutzpah. It's funny because you. It's funny because you said it right.
And now I'm going in the wrong direction.
To bring it up, you said it right.
Yeah.
And now
but I'm thinking about the C and then how it comes about. I don't know.
No, there's not a whole lot. Rui was the thing I wanted to bring up from this game because he looks really good. Still, his shot is decent. It's fine. But he has really gotten like automatic from mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
He's really starting to look like, I thought last year a couple times I watched him and I was like, he could be like David West was.
Yeah.
It was like he's a little more athletic than David West. He's more athletic than David West ever was, but just... Mm-hmm. Mid-range elbow jumper, good in the post, and he can go, you know, downhill and score. And he's developed that game a lot this year.
Yeah, they've got some pieces and one god awful contract. So,
and Brad Beal again still out. For the Hornets, might as a team, they probably lead the league in chutzpah this year.
I think so. I think that's fair.
I mean, because I guess you could. Part of what would get in, if you were going to make an equation for chutzpah, clutch play would be in that for sure.
Definitely.
And they're definitely one of the best clutch teams in the league this year. Terry Rozier.
He might lead the league in chutzpah, but
this year, there's no doubt. I mean, Dame's like the all-time leader, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Well, no, not all-time. Ooh, who would be the all-time leader in chutzpah in the NBA?
Michael Jordan, 100%.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I guess when all the
and then probably Larry Bird.
All the factors are when everything's factored in.
Yeah.
But I think like because of what is all factored in a chutzpah.
J.R. Smith could be up.
Right.
There.
I'm saying like there's certain guys that would be shockingly high on the list because their amount of that certain thing is so high. You know?
Yeah.
J.R. is a good one. Like Nick Young. Great one. Like created his own nickname and it's an amazing nickname. That's audacity, you know?
Yeah.
JaVale McGee is like from, listen, the turnaround took chutzpah.
Anytime your mom has to step in to,
and then you become an NBA champion.
Yeah.
You got chutzpah.
Okay.
So anyways, maybe one day we'll do like our all time chutzpah team.
Okay, looking forward to that.
I guess we have to figure out parameters for what actually goes in the chutzpah. Yeah. But
I mean, hold up. That'll be an off-season episode for sure.
But the Hornets are up there for this year. Terry Rozier in particular. It's a fun team to watch. He hit another big shot at the end of this game. It's just every time. It's every time.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Automatic. All right, before we wrap up, let us discuss this Kevin Durant thing. And I don't want to go crazy with it because it's just so, I just hate it. It's so stupid. Like, for those who don't know, Kevin Durant did an interview and I don't even remember when this was. It had to be a while back, on TNT. Charles Barkley asked him a question and I guess it was like a yes or no question, but like, you know, the way Barkley phrases his questions, you could just say yes or just say no.
Mm-hmm.
And not explain yourself. Most guys say, yeah. And then they go on. And I guess it was an interview where KD was just like, yep. Nope. And then I think it was the one where they like laughed because he didn't answer the question.
Yeah.
Rappaport tweeted like a trolling tweet that was like, answer the question, this and that. And KD, I mean, holy shit. Should I read
after him?
Should I read him?
Yeah, yeah. Were these so he responded?
I don't know. Actually, now when I went back to it, I don't know if it was DMs. I think it was responding to the tweet.
No, because we would have heard about this so much sooner, right? Yeah, I mean, the day it happened, this would have been. So I think he responded with DMs.
Hold on. It's got to still be trending.
I'm almost certain the response was DMs. What I'm not clear on was whether the original thing was a DM.
Here's the thing. I'm going to read some of it. I just don't want to give it like a spotlight because here's my thing with this. Here's what's frustrating to me about this. People, especially this last week, the whole conversation in NBA Twitter, NBA fans is Kevin Durant needs all these players to win a championship. Kevin Durant can't win a championship. Like everyone just destroying Kevin Durant. And then Kevin Durant engages with the biggest troll on the planet, not defending Michael Rapaport, but he is, that's what he is. He's a troll he's made it. His whole post-acting career has been being a troll. He not only engages with him, but then goes on this absurdly offensive, childish rant. And everyone's like, Kevin Durant destroyed Michael Rapaport.
That's where I am. I think I've not destroyed him, but it's refreshing to see somebody snap. Like, because I do it all the time.
But think about it like this. If let's take a similar relevance actor to Michael Rapaport, which is not super relevant at the moment, but less hated. So I don't know. Do you have one that you can think of?
Do they have to be like a huge troll or no? You're saying no.
I don't know. Like, let's take like Kevin James.
Okay. I like Kevin James.
Okay. Everybody like Kevin James. Okay. Best friend. It's like best friends with Adam Sandler. I mean, you don't have to love or hate his movies or his shows, but you like Kevin James. Okay. If Kevin James was like, God, KD, just answer the question. And KD got into his DMs and was like, you stupid, dumb bitch. You got cum on your face or whatever he was talking about. Everyone would be like, KD is a terrible person and we hate Kevin Durant. But it's because it's Rapaport and everyone hates Rapaport. They're like, oh, it's refreshing. He went at Rapaport. Bullshit. If he did it to any other person, everyone would be like, fuck KD.
But he didn't do it. He did it specifically to Michael Rapaport. So I don't know. I'm on the fence. I just know how little things will set me off. And like, I could just like, I'm looking at, he tweeted, Rapaport tweeted to every publicly, like saying he's so sensitive. He didn't don't do the interview, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Durant screenshots the tweet, direct messages it to Rapaport and just says, you a bitch. Right. And then Rapaport responds and then KD goes off.
Right. So he says, just do the fucking interview. And if you're upset about something they said, say something up there looking like you're going to cry and shit. Okay, that's fine. And then he said, I did the interview, you dickhead. Tell your baby daddy, Chuck, to be better at his job and frame his questions better. He gave me two options for that dumbass question, yes or no.
It's just so bizarre.
And then I guess there's like a screenshot of him saying, I don't know why they still ask for this idiot's opinion. If someone called, oh, wait. I don't know. This is weird. But then he was like, I heard it all before you... C word, Chuck doesn't need you as security, you pale, pasty, cum guzzling bitch.
I think it's so over the line that it's,
and then he's, it I swear I'm a spit in your face when I see your dirty ass. And then he's, meet me on West 17th tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, like it's so,
or better so yet, over the line. Or better yet, what's your address? 10 a.m. at Catch Steak on the corner. Meet me there, pussy.
He's just the second best player in the NBA. It's like,
this is a top 10 player in the history of the league.
Just snapping, essentially.
Yeah, but even the snapping is the snapping of a 14-year-old. Like, the things he's saying are not the things whatever he is, I guess he's probably like 30 now. Mm-hmm. A 30-year-old, probably approaching billionaire status, would... like say to another person, because here's the thing.
all this proves is that Rappaport's right.
He is fucking sensitive. I guess we already knew, like, we already know how sensitive Kevin Durant is. But that's like, not even debatable. But
here's the thing. If you're trying to, like, go at a guy for saying you're sensitive, that you're really sensitive.
He went all in on it. Yeah.
You're like, you're leaning into the sensitivity because this is just over, is so overboard.
I think that's why I'm like laughing about it. It's because it's just so ridiculous to exactly what you just said. He's calling him sensitive and then he gets as sensitive as a human can be for like in someone's DMs and goes maniacal, really. It's just so weird. And I hope there's like, I don't want to gas up the whole story, but I do hope they run into each other in public just to see what happens.
I don't know. I feel like Michael Rappaport's pretty like,
but apparently his lawyers are involved now and something, there's like someone suing somebody.
I don't know. There's also, so here's the thing. I mean, it's possible. Rappaport's also suing Dave Portnoy from Barstool.
Okay.
He did sue him, or there's been some stuff like, because Rappaport used to work for Barstool, then he got fired, and then Portnoy made a shirt with a picture of Rappaport as like a clown, but in the picture he had like herpes or something like on his face, or I don't know. Yeah. Something. And then he sued him, and I don't know. Because one of Katie's responses, like, you couldn't handle Portnoy talking shit or something, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's just crazy to me how everyone hates Kevin Durant, the basketball player, but they love Kevin Durant, the petulant, like baby, sensitive child who's saying, nah, I'm not offended, but generally speaking, like people are getting canceled these days for way less. So if he said
it was probably the one thing that
guzzling bitch.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad, but it's not necessarily offending any.
Yeah, I guess. People, yeah, that's true. I guess anybody can do that. But I don't know. It just seemed all kind of offensive. I think he made a gay implication in there.
Definitely an implication. Yeah.
So, it's just like, again, if he does this to Kevin James, Kevin Durant's canceled. But it's because it's Rappaport. Everyone loves it because everyone hates Rappaport, too.
Right, because like it's like a
battle between the two most hated people in NBA Twitter.
Yeah, it really is.
Which is just crazy. But I don't know. It just, and it's also like, could you imagine LeBron?
We just never do it. Yeah, it would just never ever happen because he's so much more mature than Kevin Durant. Like it just is the truth. He's a weird guy, and I don't dislike Kevin Durant. I think he's awesome. But he is a weird guy for sure.
And he's talking about the guy's wife. Yeah. Like bringing wives into it. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, not good.
Like Kevin Durant, man. You're Kevin fucking Durant. You're Kevin Durant. Like here's the thing. No one looks up to Michael Rappaport. No one. No one. There, no child, at least, right? Maybe at one point in life when he was like a legitimate actor, maybe there were people who were like, oh, I want to be an actor like him. I don't think there even was then. There are children who still to this day look up to Kevin Durant because he's one of the best athletes on the planet. Mm-hmm. You can't do this shit, man.
Right. Especially for something so small. The guy just he criticized you essentially. Yeah, it's not like he said something racist or he just insulted you and you went off. So I don't know. Because there was there wasn't anything like blatantly offensive to a group of people. I think it's just funny and ridiculous is where I stand on it. But
what an idiot. Kevin Durant, good God. It's hard to keep rooting for the guy. It's hard to keep rooting. I know you feel differently. I think a lot of people like him more now.
No, yeah, I don't think.
And here's the other thing. Because he invoked the Portnoy thing, now all those fucking insane Barstool fans are all on Kevin Durant's side. They love Kevin Durant now.
Mm-hmm.
They love him. Like Portnoy tweeted out a picture. He's like, I don't like jersey swaps, but hey, Kevin Durant, and tweeted at KD, and it was a picture of two people swapping jerseys and he photoshopped their faces on them.
Hmm.
So like now Barstool is all in on Kevin Durant because Durant's going after Rappaport.
So that'll be tiresome for sure. But yeah.
Well, that's an understatement. All right, that's it. That's enough of that.
I thought we hit that pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough of that story. I hope it goes away quickly.
Yeah.
It probably will. It'll be gone by tomorrow. So
seriously, probably will.
All right. That's it for today. We will be back tomorrow with a larger slate of games and a little bit more to talk about and a whole lot of chutzpah. Later.